Lord, we thank you that your word is mighty. When it goes forth, it does things and things happen. Lives are transformed by the power of your Spirit. So as we turn to your word now, may it have a powerful impact on our lives, shaping us and transforming us into Jesus' likeness. We pray that by his Holy Spirit, that you, Lord Jesus, would open our eyes that we may see wonderful things in your law. For your name's sake we pray. Amen. Numbers chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?" they asked. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, "Come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you." So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent of meeting and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, "Listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then are you not afraid to speak? Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. Aaron turned towards her and saw that she was leprous, and he said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away." So Moses cried out to the Lord, "O God, please heal her." The Lord replied to Moses, "If her father had spat in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back." So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move till she was brought back. After that, the people left Hazeroth and encamped in the desert of Paran. Amen. One day before Christmas, I was loitering with intent in the fruit and veg section in Tesco's. I was looking for something to put into a fruit salad for the Christmas Day dinner, or pudding really. And I came across a fruit that I had never bumped into before. Maybe you saw it in Tesco's just before Christmas. I haven't seen it since. It's called a persimmon. Now, you know me, I'll have a go at eating most things, although there are one or two things I don't eat, but I'll have a go at eating most things. So I thought, this persimmon looks interesting, and I bought a pack of four. The fact that it was on special offer, reduced from £4 to £1, also helped. And when I brought it home, Joan said to me, "What do you do with it? How do you eat it?" So we had to Google and find out how you eat a persimmon. And what you do is you can take off the skin. This is how we ate it. Take off the skin, chop it up into segments and enjoy. It's very quite nice. So if you see one, have a go at it. Now the reason I'm telling you about my culinary adventure is that gentleness, the eighth flavour of the fruit of the Spirit, is like the persimmon. It's rare. There's no exact equivalent for the Greek word, no exact English equivalent for the Greek word that Paul uses in Galatians 5:23. Sometimes it's translated as humility, sometimes it's translated as meekness, and sometimes it's translated as gentleness. And as you can see, I'm voting for the third option. Yet, however the word is translated, it is still a rare quality. Gentleness was rare when Paul wrote, and gentleness is still an endangered species today in our culture. Think about it. Who does our culture admire? Who are being put before us as role models? Our culture admires strong, assertive, powerful, and influential people. Even with the extensive feminization of our culture, we still hand out the prizes to those who have fought their way to the top of the tree. We applaud the tough, aggressive, take-no-prisoners, shakers and movers who get things done. That is why The Apprentice and Dragon's Den still attract high ratings. We say we want to be like Lord Sugar. We see it in the area of sport. Sportsmanship is low in premium. Taking part, you know, the Olympic spirit is no longer enough. You have to win, and you have to win at any cost. Just ask Lance Armstrong. It's not enough to defeat your opponent. You have to humiliate your opponent. We see it in the area of entertainment. The cult of the celebrity dominates, so people with very little talent can somehow become overnight sensations by using social media to shamelessly promote themselves. Apologies for the split infinitive. If you've got it, you flaunt it. And we even have a saying to justify our brash, self-confident behaviour. A saying which, because the level of Bible knowledge in our society has dropped over the cliff, people actually think is in the Bible, but we've got the saying, don't we? God helps those who help themselves. People think that's in the Bible. It's not. Now, Paul turns all that on its head here by challenging us as Christian people to develop gentleness in our lives. Because gentleness is the exact opposite of what we see going on around us and what our culture and sadly even our church admires. Gentleness may be rare, an endangered species, but it is this quality that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our characters. Now, what does it mean to be gentle or meek or humble? Now, although Jesus is the Bible's greatest example of this quality, we're going to take another juke at Moses this morning. You see, he's not only an example of faithfulness. You remember God's testimonial to Moses that we looked at last week in Numbers 12:7. But he's also a role model when it comes to gentleness. Because this is what was said of him in Numbers 12, verse 3. Now, Moses was very humble, very gentle. More humble, more gentle than anyone else on the face of the earth. So what can we learn about gentleness from Moses' example? Well, here's the first thing. Gentleness is not the same as weakness. When I looked up the meaning of gentleness in a dictionary, one of its definitions was soft and spineless. And our culture gives gentleness a bad press, viewing it as weakness. However, the Bible sees gentleness as a plus and not a minus. For starters, according to Moses' example, gentleness is not weakness of character. A person with a weak character is easily led. He goes with the flow and copies what everyone else is doing. So if he's running with a good crowd, he's good. But if he's in with a bad crowd, he's bad. Now, Moses highlights the fact that gentleness is not weakness of character. In Hebrews 11, verses 24 and 25, this is what is said about him. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God. Moses refused to follow the crowd. He knew right from wrong. He knew what the right thing was to do. And he refused to do what was wrong. He stuck to what was right. He was a man of strong character. And yet, he was gentle. Again, according to the Bible, gentleness is not weakness of conviction. A person with weak convictions is easily pressurized into believing anything. He will never take a stand for what he believes, especially when it will cost him something to do that. Moses shows that being wishy-washy in what you believe and adapting your views to the views of everyone around you is not gentleness. When God spoke to Moses, Moses refused to shift from what God had said. He had deep convictions that made him stand firm for God's truth. Our culture would label Moses as being intolerant and inflexible and a bigot. But God says that Moses was gentle. Because having conviction is not incompatible with gentleness. And also, according to the Bible, gentleness is not weakness of character. A person who is weak in his conduct will never say, "This is the way God wants me to go, and by his grace I will go that way. It might be inconvenient for me, and it might lead people to misunderstand me and say all kinds of untrue and hurtful things about me. It might mean that I will have to suffer, but I'm still going to go down that road." A weak person will never say that and never do that. That kind of mindset is simply absent from the weak person's field of vision. The person who is weak in conduct always takes the course of least resistance and least bother. Moses indicates that gentleness is not weakness of conduct. Moses never behaved in that way. He was repeatedly willing to take the bull by the horns and do what was inconvenient and unpopular. He didn't chicken out when it came to doing what was right, even when he knew it would annoy others. And yet he was a gentle person. Folks, today within the church, and I'm not talking about out there among people who never come to church who are not Christians, but today within the church, we have people who do what everyone else is doing, who never take a stand for what is right, and who never do anything that will even remotely annoy anybody else. And these people are applauded and put forward to us as examples of wonderfully gentle people. If only we could be like them, everything would be wonderful. They're not gentle people at all. They are weak people. And weakness is a vice to be avoided like the plague. And not a virtue to be praised and copied. The Holy Spirit develops gentleness in our characters. And gentleness is not the same as weakness. Now let's move on from the negative, what gentleness is not, to the positive, what gentleness is. Moses' example teaches us that in the second place, gentleness is total submission to God's will. There's an incident recorded in Numbers 20, probably towards the end of the time when Moses was leading the Israelites. And it tells about the time when Moses, in a fit of temper, hit a rock to get water out of it instead of speaking to it as God had commanded him. And as a result of his actions, God told Moses that he would not be allowed to enter the promised land, Canaan. He would not be allowed to lead the people into the land. Now, Moses' reaction to this devastating news is very significant. I wonder how we would have reacted to that. Moses' reaction was not to huff and sulk, which I suspect we probably would have done. Maybe I'm only speaking for myself. Instead, he accepted God's will for his life. He could have argued with God and said, "Look, God, look at what I've had to put up with this lot for so long because you called me to be their leader. And remember, God, it wasn't a job that I wanted to sign up for in the first place. This is some way to treat me because of one act of disobedience." But Moses didn't. There was no hint of any anger or bitterness or resentment towards God. He didn't question God at all. He simply submitted to God's will for his life. That's what gentleness looks like. That's not weakness. That's massive strength of character. And today within the church among Christians, we have people who harbour grudges against God. Some of them have done so for years. They've served God faithfully, but when life has turned sour, they've turned against God. Maybe not outwardly, but certainly in their hearts. They had plans, but all of a sudden their plans came to nothing. And inwardly they're seething with resentment over the way God has treated them, or the way they perceive God has treated them. How could God do this to me? One man, a stalwart of his congregation, not this one, said to me many years ago. How could God do this to me, he said. After all, look at what I have done for him down the years. He was angry with God. He was questioning the way God had dealt with him. And he's not alone. Gentleness is the opposite of that. No, I don't understand why God has dealt with me in the way that he has, and neither do you. But we do know this, that our Saviour is too wise to make any mistakes with us, and too loving to hurt us. Often we don't understand, but we're not called upon to understand every single thing God is doing with our lives. One day in heaven we will, but not here. We're not called to understand. We're called to trust God, to submit to his will and say, "Lord, you know what you're doing. I don't, but you do. And I trust you. My times are in your hands." And that's what gentle people, people who display this eighth flavour of the fruit of the Spirit, do. They totally submit themselves to God's will for their lives. In the third place, Moses' example teaches that gentleness is stooping to serve others. We're back at Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, what it says about Moses. It says, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God." Moses had been adopted into the Egyptian royal family after he'd been pulled out of the River Nile in his basket. He was what we would say today, a minor royal. He enjoyed wealth and prestige. He was destined to be a future leader in Egypt, the greatest superpower and the most sophisticated culture in the world at that time. He had everything going for him. And yet he gave all this up to become the leader of the Israelites, a ragtag and bobtailed bunch of slaves who are clinging on to survival by their fingertips. He stooped to serve others, for this is what gentleness means. Gentle people, people who display this eighth flavour of the fruit of the Spirit, are often in places of leadership. But they refuse to throw their weight around and lord it over others. Instead, they're prepared to give up their privileges and graciously stoop to serve others, especially the most needy and the most vulnerable. And here's another thing about Moses' example. Gentleness is being willing to listen to wise advice. In Exodus 17, we read about how Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came to visit him. And Jethro was worried. He saw that Moses was wearing himself out through overwork. He was trying to solve every single problem facing the Israelites by himself, no matter how trivial and insignificant that problem might be. And Jethro advised Moses to delegate out the less important matters to other capable men, and that that would free him up to field only the major problems. And Jethro said, in that way, Moses, you won't burn yourself out as a leader. Now, folks, if you think about it, this is a sure recipe for trouble in paradise, is it not? A father-in-law trying to tell his son-in-law what to do. But Moses was a gentleman. Or he was a gentleman. He didn't tell Jethro to clear off and mind his own business. Instead, he listened to his father-in-law because he realized it was wise advice and took up what Jethro suggested. Moses was prepared to listen to wise advice, for that's what gentleness involves. Lots of people give us advice, and a great deal of it is not wise advice. Gentleness is listening to wise advice. Gentle people, as we've seen, have strong convictions about what's right and wrong. They don't listen to all advice, only wise advice, because they trust the person who's giving them advice. And gentle people also understand the difference between listening and doing. They will listen, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they will do what everyone tells them to do. They couldn't possibly do that. Gentle people, as we've seen, have strength of character. They refuse to do what's wrong. So they may listen to poor advice, but not carry it out because it is poor advice and maybe not the best advice. And then there's one final thing about gentleness from Moses. Gentleness is refusing to defend yourself. We're back here in Numbers 12, where we were last week as well. It's interesting that this comment that Moses was a gentle man comes in Numbers 12. You remember the chapter which describes the way Miriam and Aaron challenged Moses' authority because of his marriage arrangements. Verses 1 and 2, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Has he not also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Now, how did this gentleman react to this very personal attack upon himself, that he was arrogant and self-opinionated? Did he get all prickly and defensive and begin to rant and rave? No, the Bible says he said nothing. He didn't defend himself. He let God do that. He committed his reputation to God and let God vindicate him. That's what gentleness means. Why do gentle people not defend themselves? Is it because they're too nice to do such a thing? Or is it because they're cowards? Or is it because they're weak? No, none of those reasons. Here's how gentle people think. They realize that they are nothing, and in and of themselves they have nothing to offer, and by themselves they can do nothing. So they say, what's the point in trying to defend myself? Because there's really nothing to defend. So they're not quick to jump to their own defence. Instead, they leave that to God. However, let me add this. Although gentle people do not defend themselves, they will defend God and his reputation and his truth with their last drop of blood. In Numbers 12, when his own reputation was at stake. Moses said nothing in his defence. But it was a completely different ball game in Exodus 32 when God's reputation was at stake because the Israelites had worshipped the golden calf and so dishonoured God. Moses there was fierce and uncompromising in his defence of God's glory. Gentle people will never defend themselves, but they're prepared to sacrifice everything for the sake of God's honour and truth. So that's what gentleness, the eighth flavour of the fruit of the Spirit, looks like. Moses' example shows us that negatively, it is not weakness of character, convictions and conduct. And positively, it involves a total submission to God's will, a stooping to serve others, listening to wise advice and refusing to defend yourself, but being prepared to die for God and his honour and truth. Now, at the risk of confirming your suspicions that most of the time I live without my brain in gear, you really need to know that this morning, although we've been looking at Moses' gentleness, we actually haven't been looking at Moses' gentleness. Let me explain. All the characters in the Old Testament point away from themselves to Jesus. Remember last week how Moses' faithfulness anticipated the supreme example of Jesus' faithfulness. It's the same with Moses' gentleness. It anticipates the supreme example of Jesus. Just as we are to look beyond Moses' faithfulness to Jesus' faithfulness, so we are to look past Moses' gentleness to Jesus' gentleness. You see, Jesus is the supreme example of gentleness. For no one has ever shown more strength of character, convictions, and conduct than Jesus has. No one has ever been so totally submissive to God's will than Jesus, the one who said that it was his constant delight to carry out his Father's will, Hebrews 10 verse 7. No one has stooped so low to serve others than Jesus, the one who humbled himself by stepping off the infinite glory of his throne to come to the infinite shame of the cross, in order not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. No one has ever listened so intently to wise advice than Jesus, the servant of the Lord, who each morning opened his ears to hear what the Father had to say to him, Isaiah 50 verse 4. No one has ever refused to defend himself when he had every right and plenty of opportunities to do so than Jesus, the one who, when they hurled their insults at him, did not retaliate, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. 1 Peter 2 verse 23. So when Paul is talking here about being gentle, displaying the eighth flavour of the fruit of the Spirit, he's not telling us to be like Moses. He's telling us to be like Jesus, the gentle Saviour, who said, I am gentle and humble in heart. And how will this happen? How will we become more gentle? How will we display this eighth flavour of the fruit of the Spirit increasingly in our characters? Well, Jesus himself tells us in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. He says we become more gentle, like Jesus, when we come to him. You see, gentleness is not a natural product. It doesn't come from within us. By nature, we're like Moses. We're not naturally gentle people. Gentleness only begins to appear in our lives when we become Christians. And this is why Jesus begins by saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You can't produce gentleness, folks, unless you are a Christian. That's why you need to come to Jesus. However, there's more, because Jesus tells us that we become more gentle like him when we obey his word. That's what he means by what he says in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." It's as we understand the Bible's teaching and do what Jesus says that the Holy Spirit produces gentleness in increasing qualities in our lives. It's again what we've seen. The soil in which the fruit of the Spirit grows is the soil of understanding and doing what the Bible says. Do you want to be gentle like Jesus? Then come to him. Place your trust in him as your Saviour. In addition, having done that, begin to obey him as your Lord, doing what his word says. Here's the invitation that Jesus extends to you. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are burdened, weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What an invitation. You'll never get a better one. You'll never get a better one. Have you responded positively to Jesus' invitation? If you haven't, do so now. Don't delay. Don't put it off until another time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the one who was gentle and totally humble in heart, we confess to our shame that this quality of gentleness is not seen in our lives as much as it should be. Far too often our attitude towards you is one of self-display and displaying self-will. Far too often in our behaviour towards other people we show ill will. Our gentle Saviour, forgive us. May your Spirit fill us so that this quality of gentleness might be increasingly seen in our characters. May each day we become more and more like you, the one who is gentle and humble in heart. And we ask this for the sake of your name. Amen.